This is Talking Business.
Well, joining me now is Peter Forhoever, who's the President and CEO of Volvo Group Australia. G'day, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Alan. How are you? And good to be here.
Thank you. Now, listen, perhaps we better start with the difference between Volvo Group and Volvo Cars and just clarify that, because I think a lot of people think that there's one company, but in fact, what we're talking about is two companies here. There's Volvo Cars, which is a Chinese company, and there's Volvo Group, which is a Swedish company, and that's who you work for.
Exactly. And the brief history is that Volvo started as a single-branded car and truck manufacturer. And then in 2000, we decided to focus on diesel engines and the commercial applications of diesel engines. So we sold Volvo Cars first to Ford, and is now in the hands of a Chinese group. And the Volvo Group worldwide focuses on the production of trucks, the different brands. We do Volvo, we do UD, we do Mack and Renault. And then we also do Volvo buses, Volvo construction equipment, and large engine applications for Volvo Penta.
So I think it's very confusing, Peter. I mean, why on earth did you allow the other company that you sold to keep the name Volvo? That's terrible.
I'm actually not sure if it is terrible. The Volvo cars still manufacture beautiful cars that are completely in line with our core values of safety, quality, and care for the environment. And we have a very good cooperation with them on how we put the brand in the market. So I think from a brand point of view, what the Volvo stands for is carried by both the Volvo cars company as the Volvo group.
Right. Now, well, obviously, that's the case, and it's all going fine. It's been that was 17 years ago, and no problems. So there you go. I guess the interesting thing this year for Australia is that we've closed down the car manufacturing industry in this country. Yeah. But we are still manufacturing trucks.
Absolutely.
Tell us about our truck manufacturing industry in Australia.
Well, we still have, and by the way, the Volvo Group is not the only one. There's two other brands manufacturing trucks in Australia as well, and we don't see any reason to stop doing that. I think the question is, or the question I sometimes get is, why do the cars stop manufacturing and why does Trick continue? And it's difficult for me to answer on behalf of Toyota, Ford, and Holland why they did what they did. But in our case, what you can say is that Trick and transport in Australia is a very specific business. Trucks here do things that they don't do in Europe and in the US. And therefore, we make sure that we manufacture trucks here locally that are ready for this demanding Australian environment.
So what proportion of the trucks sold here are made in Australia and what proportion are imported?
That's an interesting one. So basically what you can say, 10,000 trucks in the heavy-duty segment, and I'm not talking about the lighter segment, but in the heavy-duty segments, so the road trains, 10,000 trucks roughly are sold per year. 4,500 of those to almost 5,000 are built here in Australia, and the rest is imported.
Right, nearly half. Well, that's and obviously they're competitive. They wouldn't you wouldn't be selling 4,500 or so if they weren't competitive.
No. What you can say is that there's basically three brands four brands of manufacture here. So Volvo and Mack, those are my brands. And then we have two competing brands that manufacture in this country as well. We take the lion's share, if I may say that. And why are the ones that manufacture locally here, why are they successful? Because we build exactly what the customer wants. So we are here. So if I take our own company, Volvo Group, we have 50 people in engineering and research and development that will make sure that the trucks that are globally designed, right, that they are made ready for the Australian environment. And if I may give an example, for instance, in Australia, trucks run faster. They run longer distance without fuel stations because the country is so big and not densely populated.
And they run faster. They run faster in Australia.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because we don't have too much rail here, so the trucks take over that function. If you go from Brisbane to Darwin, for instance, the maximum speed allowed in Australia is 90 kilometers an hour for a road train, and that's what they do because there's nobody on the road. In Europe, a truck can drive up to 80 kilometers. However, they never reach that because it's so congested.
Oh, I see. Right. And so are the trucks differently made here? To what do you have to modify them very much?
What we do is that for both Volvo and Mack, those are the trucks that we make here. The Yudi, the Japanese truck, are made in Japan. So those we import. But Volvo and Mack are made in our factory in Waco. What we do is we work off the global platform. It's a global architecture, American architecture for Mack and Swedish European architecture for Volvo. We work off that base architecture, but then we change, for instance, the way we organize the frame. So you need more space for larger fuel tanks. You need more space for a urea tank. You need the bull bar on the front, which makes the weight distribution between the front axle and the rear axle a bit different. So we do local adaptations. 85% of our trucks are custom built, are specifically built for the customer.
And how much of the components are made here and how much are imported? How many are imported?
Well, you can say that 40% of all the components are made locally.
Right.
That's a rough... So we have 85 suppliers that deliver a total of 3,500 component numbers to our factory.
Is there any export market for Australian trucks?
We built the trucks for New Zealand and for Papua New Guinea.
Right, but the particular modifications that you do for the Australian environment, are they useful, say, in Africa or South America?
No, what we do, however, is that within the whole group technology environment, in the whole R&D environment in Volvo, we learn from each other. So, for instance, the road train applications that we have in Australia are of interest for Canada. We want bigger cabs here in Australia. That's of interest for Norway. Another thing is what is very important is that as Australia is such a harsh environment on the warmer side, right? Sweden is an extremely cold country. But then I would say Australia is the opposite. So we do a lot of testing of our new technology here in Australia because of its environment.
There's a lot of talk lately, obviously, about electric cars.
Yeah.
What's your view about electric trucks? Do you think that they will come before we have electric cars?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a race or not, but they will certainly come. I think what we need to look at, yes, they will come, and then we need to see, okay, in which applications will they come? I think where it comes to, say, local distribution, so garbage trucks or waste trucks, local distribution, that will go electric rather quickly. I think the first electric road trains from Brisbane to Darwin, that might be me a bit later.
They need very big batteries, wouldn't they?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Range is the magic word, both in car and truck applications. With a car, if you have a range of 300 to 400 kilometers, then that's pretty good for your daily use. We have trucks, we build trucks with fuel tanks of 2,400 liters so that they can drive up to 3,000 kilometers. Well, I'm not sure when we have enough battery capacity to provide a range of 3,000 kilometers for a heavy-duty truck.
But you need to have a trailer with the batteries on them.
Well, and that then will cost you payload, and that is less interesting for the transporter, obviously.
Obviously, the next step is driverless, and yeah. It's been said to me that the trucks will be earlier being driverless because of the advantages of slipstreaming, and because driverless trucks will be able to travel much closer to each other.
Yeah.
And therefore slipstream more readily. What do you think of that?
I think there's two different things here. The what you talk about, the slipstreaming and driving closer together, that's what we call platooning. That's where basically the first truck has a driver and then two trucks are following. They're working very much in Europe with that for the moment. Although for the moment...
They're doing that now in Europe, are they?
They are doing that now. They are testing it. A couple of countries are testing it right now. We have driven a platoon truck from Gothenburg to Brussels to show that we can do it and that we have the technology. However, there's still drivers in the following trucks, but we will come to at a certain moment we'll come to a situation where you don't have these drivers anymore. The thing is then, by the time we take the driver out of the truck on a public road, then legislation and social acceptance must be ready as well. But if we go to another application, so if you say the more contained environments like harbors or mines, There we have for the moment, Volvo has, we have one autonomous truck driving in a mine in Sweden, in the Boliden mine. And that is picking up coal and dirt and driving it around without any driver in it. So it's completely autonomous driving already. And I think that that area will go faster than driverless vehicles on the road, because again, that is a complicated environment where technology basically is ready. We can do it, but you need legislation and you need social acceptance.
Sure, I hard to imagine anything much scarier than a road train barreling down the road at 90 kilometres an hour with no one behind the wheel. That'd be pretty scary.
But if you do it in a mine, right, that happens a lot as well. Then it's perfect.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we've run out of time, but it's been great talking to you, Peter. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. It was good to talk to you, and I will never leave an opportunity to talk about what how good of a manufacturing country Australia is.
Oh, well, that's great to hear, because we're feeling a little bit, we're feeling a little bit as if we're not that much of a manufacturing country at the moment. That's true.
I think we're selling ourselves short. It is very much possible. There's a good workforce here and a great economic environment to produce beautiful products.
Well, what a great note to end on. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much, Alan.
I've been talking to Peter Voorhoven, who is the president and CEO of Volvo Group Australia.